Hello and welcome to the Wednesday, May 7th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Yesterday I talked about Google Chrome de-emphasizing the URL bar possibly in future versions. Today I wrote up a little diary with some of the miscellaneous changes that we have seen in browsers and in the HTTP standard over the last couple years. One that I think caused the most concern is that autocomplete equals off is no longer all that effective. That particular attribute can prevent a browser from autosaving a particular field's content, and it's typically used for passwords and for credit card numbers, as well as for CVV2 numbers. In some ways, is actually required for credit card numbers and CVV2 numbers according to some interpretations of the PCI standard. Safari and recently in an Explorer as well as Google Chrome no longer really obey this particular parameter, just with the reasoning that the users need to use some kind of password save feature anyway. So this feature is really not all that useful and somewhat counterproductive if you're trying to convince users to use strong passwords. One feature I actually forgot to mention in the blog post is that Firefox's whitelist for international domain names, it keeps changing, and I believe in the latest version, .com is also on this whitelist. What this means is you could come up with an international lookalike domain, and that would then be displayed using the international characters, not the Punic coding which usually start with xn-dash, and it's quite different from the actual visual domain name. But that's just a problem with a lot of these standards. They are a moving target, so don't get complacent and believe that what you learned a couple of years ago or so as a defensive technique still absolutely works. Keep questioning that and keep trying new attacks against these old techniques. Now, talking about new attacks, there is one particular paper that caused a lot of news, but I think actually is not really such a big deal. And this is a paper that was first published actually back in August, and now some other researchers essentially republished the same fact. What it's all about is the way Bind selects which name server it is going to use in order to send a DNS query out of the set of valid authoritative name servers. So first of all, the attacker is not able to send requests to an arbitrary name server. That would be quite bad. The only thing the attacker is able to do with this vulnerability is to pick which one of these name servers is going to be used. And the problem here is pretty simple, that Bind tries to find the best name server to use for its queries, and by attacking, for example, name servers that you don't want to be used, you can then make the name server that you want Bind to use more likely to be used. So the algorithm is not as random as it's at first sight, and it's actually not supposed to be random, it's supposed to be efficient. But really, all this does is it just fixes one parameter that you need for DNS spoofing. For DNS spoofing, you also need the query ID and the source port of the query, both of which are usually a lot harder to figure out than which authoritative name server a particular query goes to. Many domains only have a couple, like two or four different authoritative name servers, so that selection process is quite easy to brute force. And then Dropbox is having some issues with user sharing links, or better, the problem here is that users don't exactly understand what may happen if they share a link to a document. The way Dropbox works is usually you have to log in order to access your documents, but selective documents you can open up for everybody by just giving them a specific link. Problem now is as soon as this link leaks, links, then anybody who may know about that link can access that particular document. And as it turns out, Google already had indexed some of these documents, including some tax returns and other very personal data. Dropbox now went ahead and expired some of the older shared links that users set up in order to protect them. They also made it a little bit harder for these URLs to leak. For example, if you do have a document on Dropbox that contains links to other external websites, the referrer tag is no longer sent as part of the request to this third party website. This, of course, then prevents leaking off the URL via the referrer tag. Overall, if you do use cloud services for personal documents like this, always require a username and a password. Do not just rely on a hidden URL or a feature like that. Personally, I don't think you probably should keep your tax reports in Dropbox, but then again, some people do see this as a good alternative for backups or, for example, to share it with family members. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.